Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. Here we go with a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report here on the Big X. Glad to be with you. And, of course, a lot of excitement basketball-wise over the weekend. You had the women's Final Four, local interest with U of L losing a heartbreaker in the semifinals on Friday night. Then, of course, the men's Final Four, some great games. First game especially, Michigan and Loyola back and forth until Michigan took a foothold the final 8 minutes or so of the game. Villanova playing really well. I've got to believe they're a big favorite going into the game tonight if they can shoot the ball the way that they did in the semifinal round on Saturday. Then you got the IU women. They win the women's NIT with over 13,000 people in Assembly Hall. That's a record for a women's game at that facility. And who would have thought at the start of the month, at the start of tournament season, that the IU women would be hanging a banner this year? It's not the NCAA tournament. You could make arguments. Some people did back when the women's pairings and teams were announced that they were an NCAA quality team or maybe close just being left out. But they make the most of their NIT selection in the WNIT and win the championship yesterday. They have played some great basketball the last few weeks of the season. And everything ends with a big victory in front of a ton of people and a lot of momentum for IU women's basketball. I've got to think that helps not just recruiting for Terry Morin and her team, but also getting the word out to the in-state players. A lot of good in-state women's basketball players from the Hoosier State, just like on the boys' side of things. So it should be interesting to see if they can pick up any momentum now in this offseason and add some maybe some Hoosier prospects from right here in the state of Indiana. But IU women, they win the women's NIT. The sad part about it all is, and of course the men's championship game is tonight, but the sad part about it is once we get to about midnight or so tonight, it's all downhill from here as far as basketball goes. There'll be recruiting and some high school stuff to talk about over the summer and some other things that will develop, I'm sure, with IU basketball as far as covering guys that declare for the draft and again, lots of, I'm sure, commitments forthcoming and other things, but nothing is as good as what we've had the last couple months following the IU season and, of course, following the tournament here over the last couple weeks as well. Even with Indiana in the men's program not in, it's still a great time and still offers plenty to talk about for our basketball-crazed people here in Southern Indiana. But tonight's the last big one, you could say, before we head into a much slower time for sports. But we've got some good things planned and some kind of off-season stuff that we're looking forward to getting into here over the next couple weeks. So don't forget, we'll still be here at 11 o'clock, and we'll still have a lot of basketball-related stuff to talk about at 11 o'clock. But we'll do some other things as well here on the Hoosier Report. Thanks for being with us today. Busy show for this Monday edition of the program. Let's take a look at the guest lineup presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Joining us in the next segment, once we get through some headlines and news of the day here in this opening segment, will be Chad Gilbert. He's the athletic director at Charlestown High School. Chad also recently elected to the IHSA Executive Committee. He'll be joining us to talk a whole bunch of different things. We'll talk about the women's Final Four games. We'll talk about how close Louisville was to a national championship on the women's side of things this year. We'll talk about the IU women with Chad, get his prediction for the men's national championship game tonight, and other topics as well when Chad joins us. And then later in the program, actually next segment, we have Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. He will be with us to talk IU basketball and the women's team. Then we'll have Chad later in the program in segment three. I got those backwards. So Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star, followed by Chad Gilbert. That's a look at the guest lineup today here on the Hoosier Report presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison and get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany any day at the New Albany location. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville, and obviously the women's NIT championship. Indiana wins at 65-57 over Virginia Tech. The IU women finished the season at 23-14. They really dominated for the most part all four quarters of the championship game on Saturday afternoon, ahead 17-13 after the first period. They outscored Virginia Tech 19-14 in quarter number two. Quarter three was the one period where Virginia Tech was able to get the game close and make a challenge at the IU women. They outscored IU by 10 in that quarter, 17-7, and IU would return the favor and outscore Virginia Tech by 9 in the fourth quarter, and again, final score 65-57. I think it's hard to talk much about the women's team this year and bringing home the NIT banner without talking about Tyra Buss. Obviously, she came into IU with a lot of college interest. A lot of people at the time when she committed to the Hoosiers program were surprised that she didn't maybe attend one of the more blue bloods of women's college basketball. But she came to Indiana, struggled for a couple seasons. Not her personally. She was always a big scorer and a flamboyant player for the IU women's team. But the program struggled. It's been in recent years that the footing has been more sound for the Indiana team. Amanda Cahill, the other senior in the program as well, two of the most prolific senior players that IU women have had. Tyra Buss, I saw with some of her points in the game, she's now the second all-time leading scorer in one season when you combine men's and women behind Calbert Chaney. So that kind of tells you the type of player and career that she's had, especially her senior year for the IU women. So obviously a big opportunity for IU women to take another step up the rung. It's a program that for years was kind of forgotten. A lot more has happened here over the last 4 or 5 years with the women's program as far as some wins and some recruits coming into town, but nothing like the women's NIT championship in front of 13,000 people. Coach Morin said her goal, and it's been increasing with each round of the NIT tournament that's been happening. Indiana said the fortune to host a lot of those games. The attendance has been increasing for those games, and her goal for the championship game, stated after the semifinal last week, was let's get 12,000 in the building, and the final tally was well over 13,000 people for the championship game at Assembly Hall on Saturday afternoon. So some real things to be excited about for IU fans with the women's program as they move forward. And again, it'll be interesting to see how a women's NIT championship boosts their recruiting, boosts their opportunity to be more of a player with some of these in-state players that are going elsewhere. Just last night, Notre Dame wins a national championship on the women's side of the game, the NCAA tournament, and they do so with a lot of Indiana players on the roster. Jackie Young from right in southern Indiana at Princeton, obviously a young player on the Notre Dame roster, but a very important player on the Notre Dame roster. So it will be interesting to see how the women's NIT maybe boost some recruiting for Indiana. And speaking of women's college basketball, I know, and I've listened to other people, and I agree to a certain extent, watching the women's game, obviously it's not as fast, it's not as quick. There do seem to more at times be more mistakes, more turnovers. But the women's Final Four, I'm talking about the NCAA Final Four up in Columbus, the Louisville, Mississippi State game, down to the wire on Friday afternoon. The Connecticut Notre Dame game, down to the wire on Friday in the second semifinal. The championship game last night, Notre Dame wins again, second straight game on a last second shot. I think really some momentum for women's college basketball as a whole, not just with the IU team winning the women's NIT tournament or Notre Dame winning the NCAA tournament, but just in general, some great postseason games this year. And what a Final Four. You can critique it all you want. I know you can say it's not the men's game, and I don't know that many people are trying to say that it is, but still some really competitive games and some really good finishes that I thought that was good for women's college basketball, which has come a long, long way. A couple other headlines here on this Monday program. How about Robert Johnson for Indiana, his Big Ten team in the 3x3 University Hoops Tournament, the national championship that was played down at San Antonio. It wrapped up earlier this weekend. He was teamed with Jason Tate, Nate Mason, Vincent Edwards, of course, from Purdue. His team wins a total of $55,000 over the weekend. They got 50 alone for winning the championship, and Robert Johnson actually hit the two-point game winner to help his team to this, quote, national championship. It was the best players from the different conferences of college basketball, from the Big Ten all the way down to some of the smaller conferences. So you may have an IU player, a Purdue player, a Minnesota player, whatever the case is. The best players in that conference, obviously not in the Final Four, had an opportunity to represent that conference in three-on-three play, which is another part of the sport of basketball, gaining a lot of speed. It's an Olympic sport now here in the next couple of years, and it's something that USA Basketball at the youth level is pushing more and more because kids can't hide on defense. Kids can't hide on offense in three-on-three. It's much more of a game of angles, and it's much more of a game of participation where everybody involved. So three-on-three, Robert Johnson wins it. They get some money because, obviously, college eligibility as far as the NCAA concerned is over once you're a senior that is done with your sport. So interesting to see that the Big Ten team able to win that tournament. Robert Johnson, again, hit the game winner in that tournament. Also, IU men's basketball, a study out from the Wall Street Journal. They do this study every year, and the overall value of the IU program, according to this study, and this is just the men's basketball program, has declined according to the study, but yet Indiana rank among the other programs has risen. They are the second most valuable program in the country, according to the Wall Street Journal. They were fourth in 2016, third in 2017. Indiana was valued at $243.8 million. That's back in 2016. They were a record $277.8 million in 2017 and $243 million this year. So again, the overall value, according to this study, drops, but yet Indiana's ranking rises. This year's valuation represents a 12.5% decrease from 2007, and Kentucky valued at $246.6 million. They are the most valuable program. Louisville is third at $233.6 million, and this is obviously based on a lot of different factors on what a program would be worth on a free market if it could be sold or purchased like a professional team. Some of the factors in the study: expenses, revenue, cash flow, risk assessments, growth projections. So interesting to see Indiana right there at number two as the most valued college basketball program. Let's head to a commercial break. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopsters Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as the best sports bar and best place to watch sports by News and Tribune Readers' Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, it's where fun happens. We'll head out to a break. We'll come back with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star next, right here on a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back here on a Monday edition of the program, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star is with us today, and let's start with some women's college basketball chat here in our segment because the IU women, they win the WNIT on Saturday, and then Notre Dame, the national championship last night in a last-second heroics once again for the Fighting Irish. So a pretty good weekend for the women's college game. I guess you could say really a pretty good season for the women's college game, wrapping up with two of the national tournaments over the weekend.
Yeah, and I mean, from an IU perspective, it was pretty cool to see a program that obviously is for a long time kind of longed for and strived for without a ton of success you know, achieving maybe that high end level of competitiveness. And I know that the WNIT is not the same as winning the NCAA tournament, but there were more than 13,000 people at the women's game on Saturday when they beat Virginia Tech to win the WNIT. And I think people really got kind of swept up in particular in kind of the journey of and the story of Tyra Buss and Amanda Cahill, two four-year starters who've kind of meant everything to Indiana for the last four seasons, finishing their careers, obviously, with, I think it was winning 12 of their last 15. That sounds right, or maybe even 14 of their last 15, to put a banner for Indiana's first WNIT up on the wall and sort of close out their career as winners. It certainly was something that the IU fans down around here really embraced.
Talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, IU women, and I'm going to ask for your opinion on this because you follow it more closely than I do, but I've heard a couple people, as they've made this run through the women's NIT, say, oh, they should have been in the NCAA tournament. Well, you can look back on that and say that now after the last few weeks they've played really well. You mentioned the number of games they've won to close out the season. Were they really in contention for a NCAA tournament women's bid, or were they just left out, or your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, as best I ever understand, you know, kind of, I mean, frankly, men's or women's NCAA tournament selection and just how all of that's done. I think the problem for Indiana was just kind of the way they started. You know, they finished the season so strong, but the flip side to that was, I think they started the season something like 8-12. I'm literally looking for it right now and can't quite find it, but it was a slow start to the year, and that kind of, I think, wound up putting them at a disadvantage. Yeah, they were 8-12 and 1-6 in the Big Ten when they lost to Maryland in January. That just kind of put them at a disadvantage. They closed the season so strong, but I think that there was kind of too much bad had already kind of been put on the resume for an NCAA tournament berth, at least without a strong push in the conference tournament. And they played they actually did put a pretty strong performance in. They played, I think, what was it, the most overtimes ever in a Big Ten tournament game at one point, one of their wins. But it was just kind of one of those, you know, too much at the front end of the schedule, kind of sagging their resume down for them to have a really strong at-large chance in the NCAAs. But, you know, I think you probably also, if we can, you know, be more subjective about it or apply more intangibles to it, you could probably also look at a team that plays all the way to a WNIT semifinal or final and say, on the whole, maybe they would have been a little bit more competitive than, you know, a 10 seed or an 11 seed in the NCAA tournament. But that's kind of one of those hindsight is a beautiful thing sort of situations, it feels like.
Absolutely. Zach, let me ask you this. I think it will be curious to see how this maybe helps recruiting. You know, we talk a lot about protecting the borders. Archie Miller has said that from his initial press conference when he got the men's job. And everybody that follows basketball knows how good high school basketball and how many prospects come out of the state on the men's side. There's even been some, I don't want to call them studies, but people that keep track of that sort of thing. And for the population that Indiana has outside of Indianapolis, its big metropolitan area, it's really amazing the number of Division I prospects that the state produces on the men's, the boys' side of thing every year. And I don't have any numbers to back what I'm getting ready to say up, but there are a lot of women's players, girls high school basketball players, that go on to have nice college careers at different places. It'll be interesting to see as Indiana and Tyra Buss and all the positives that they were able to spun, you know, PR-wise out of this championship, if it helps Terry Morin in her quest to keep more girl Hoosiers here in the state with the state program as well.
I mean, I think that's got to be the goal. And it is something where, as long as I've been around IU women's basketball, and I go back to covering it as a student reporter in 2007, it's always seemed like Indiana fought kind of an uphill battle to have maybe the same, sort of establish the same sort of just place in the consciousness of elite high school women's basketball players in the state that You know, Purdue has had at times that Notre Dame certainly has had. You look at Jackie Young and how integral she was to their push for a national championship this season. You know, Indiana's actually got a Miss Basketball who will be eligible next year. Allie Patberg, who started her career at Notre Dame. She's from Columbus, but she started her career at Notre Dame, transferred to IU, sat out this year. Talking about Tyra Buss and Amanda Cahill, they're gone now. And actually, if you look at it, it'll be, you know, the success that Indiana has next season will be determined in large part by how much Allie Patberg and Brenna Wise, a transfer from Pitt, who also sat out this season, can make an impact quickly with a fairly, I think, promising group of young players. Jalen Penn is very good. Ben Duyaney had a great WNIT run from everything I saw. And, you know, I think if you're Indiana, you always want to have that sort of relevance or hold that sort of relevance to in-state players, whether it's women's basketball or men's basketball. But it's also kind of a chicken and egg thing where you say, well, how do we get that without winning, but without, you know, making sure that we keep a lot of this great talent in state? You know, how can we build a consistent winning product? And you talk about some of those names I just mentioned that, you know, there's three there that I think are important to Indiana this season. Tyra Buss is not from Indiana, but she's from Mount Carmel, Illinois, which is not far over the border. Jalen Penn is from Louisville, so, again, not Indiana, but very much kind of in that Indiana corridor, if you will. And Amanda Cahill is from Ohio. So if not in-state prospects, you're still building success on certainly players from your sort of immediate recruiting footprint. And I think success is generally only going to breed success for Indiana in the future.
Indianapolis star Zach Osterman joins us Mondays on the Hoosier Report. Switching gears a little bit, Robert Johnson, in the three-on-three tournament, conference by conference, the best players going against each other in San Antonio. Number one, I thought it was a really neat concept. It's obvious that USA Basketball is pushing the three-on-three concept, even at the youth levels, to help teach the game and participation of basketball. It's going to be an Olympic sport again, I think, very soon, maybe even the next time that the Olympics are held. So it's kind of a natural extension to see something like this happen for the top college players that obviously are not in the Final Four, playing in the same city, the same location as the Final Four. So pretty cool stuff. I watched some of the games. I think they were on Twitter live streaming. I don't know if the championship was on any kind of regular television or not, but Robert Johnson and the Big Ten team, they win it. Robert Johnson had a couple last-second shots to help his team, including a two-pointer to win the championship game, and I'm curious your thoughts on that. I thought it was a nice addition to a basketball weekend, and I love the idea of guys that are just recently expiring of their NCAA eligibility as seniors getting the chance to play in something else and be part of the weekend, but also getting the chance to be paid as well. I think Robert and his team split $55,000, the total from some early wins, and the championship was a $50,000 purse as well. So that's pretty cool to see as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think Rob needs to buy us all lunch personally. But no, it isn't. 3-on-3 basketball, I mean, you mentioned the Olympic element. It seems like it's gaining something of a foothold. In not in a way that I think would obviously ever replace or maybe even compete with 5-on-5 basketball, but I think it's fun. I think it's an interesting game because, you know, the floor is more open. There's maybe a little bit more room for just individual creativity. You know, I this weekend, a lot of these guys, I mean, we talked to Rob on Tuesday. He was on a plane Wednesday. He was playing games by Friday, so you know, it's not like there was a ton of time for him. And the other three Big Ten players were Nate Mason from Minnesota, Jayshon Tate from Ohio State, and Vincent Edwards, obviously from Purdue. It's not like there was a ton of time for them to get together and run practices and draw up plays and things. But I mean, I'm with you. I think it was a cool event. I think it was a nice, I was certainly more interested in that than I was in, you know, the slam dunk competition and things like that. And there's nothing against that stuff. I enjoyed watching 3-on-3 more. And I think it is fun to let, you know, college kids who've toiled for 4 years and, you know, we don't have to erupt this into a whole debate about paying players or not paying players, but, you know, guys who've done it without a salary for a long time. You know, I think it's interesting that it's graduated seniors, you know, that you're not pulling any underclassmen who've declared for the draft or anything. It's guys that have gone through all 4 years of college, and just let them play with some stakes involved. You know, it makes it fun. It seemed to be an event, the semis and the finals were on ESPN2. It seemed to be an event that didn't take itself too seriously, which I thought was also kind of fun that it was they kept it kind of loose and light, and everybody kind of recognized they were just there to have fun, and if they could pick up some money along the way, all the better. I think it's something, I hope it's something that continues into next year, because it seemed really intriguing to me.
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star, our guest. Curious your thoughts on the national championship game tonight. Michigan, of course, the Big Ten representative, coming from behind. I guess about 8 minutes or so left. They had the lead from that point forward over Loyola of Chicago. And then of a very hot shooting Villanova team, I thought, playing very, very well in their semifinal. I think tonight will be interesting. It's hard for me not to see some scenario where Villanova doesn't come out on top. But I'm curious your thoughts on the game and how competitive you think Michigan can be in this thing.
Well, I, full disclosure, I picked Villanova to win the national championship before the tournament started. You know, did anybody see 18 of 40 from behind the arc against Kansas coming? No, I can't imagine. So I certainly didn't. You know, the one thing that maybe you always worry about when you see numbers like that is, did they shoot themselves out in the semifinal? Are they going to have the same level of accuracy in the final? I think it's an interesting matchup because, and there's been a lot of talk about this in the last couple of days, talking to Jay Wright, talking to John Beilein, some really good national coverage. Two programs that have found success in similar ways that have, you know, if you look at kind of the modern era of just basketball strategy, you know, pacing, spacing, the ability to shoot the three, the ability to have versatile players. You look at Omari Spellman, you look at Moritz Wagner, players that can certainly go inside, can rebound their position and their size, but can also stretch you off the dribble with a three-point shot. Two coaches that really embraced kind of what maybe 8 or 10 years ago we would have said were somewhat revolutionary tactics in basketball. Now they look, you know, I don't want to use the word visionary, that seems a bit strong, but they look like coaches that were almost ahead of their time in some ways in building systems that maybe weren't, you know, Bible-thick playbooks, but were much more about concepts and then letting players thrive within systems built around those concepts as long as they understood them. I think Michigan will keep it close if they can shoot well, or if Villanova, you know, falls off of that white-hot shooting that they had against Kansas. But it is hard for me to look past, you know, I mean, if you look at Villanova, you think about Spellman and Brunson and Michael Bridges, and yet it's Eric Paschal who scores 24 points against Kansas and kind of leads the way in that win. It just feels like a team that certainly has the muscle memory of winning a title 2 years ago, has a lot of experience left from that group, and now has just so many different ways it can attack you at the offensive end. I'd be surprised if it's a blowout, but I think Villanova will win.
Absolutely. Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star. Zach, thanks for some great recommendations. I did not know you were from Atlanta until after last week's show. You gave me some great recommendations for there, and just wish you could have been with us. It was a fun week down at the McDonald's game.
Oh, did you get to Merrimack's?
That's the one thing I didn't. I hit a couple others, and I had some friends go that bragged on it, but it's on my to-do list. I've got that and a couple other places to hit when I go again. But great time, and again, thanks for all the recommendations.
Oh, absolutely. I just wish I could have been there with you.
If you would have been there, I would have found an escape route to Merrimack's, I'm sure. So
no, I would have made it happen, a forced march.
Absolutely. Zach, thanks for being with us, and we'll do this again next week.
Of course. Thanks for having me, as always.
All right. We will head to a commercial break here on a Monday edition of the program. Big national championship game tonight, Villanova and Michigan. We'll talk more about that here a little later. Chad Gilbert is going to join us, the Charlestown Athletic Director, IHSA Executive Board Member. Lots of headlines we'll talk through. A lot of basketball stuff, of course, with Coach Gilbert coming up next here on a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back here on a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report. We're going to have Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director and IHSAA Executive Board member here with us in just a little bit. I've had a couple questions about high school baseball. We're going to have a coach starting each Thursday with us later this week and preview some of the local high school baseball scene. We'll also be doing a schedule of high school baseball games starting here in the next few weeks. We'll cover some of the big rivalry games in the regular season, and then of course the postseason as well. So we'll be making some announcements, I think, here over the next week or so about our first high school baseball broadcast here on the Big X Sports Radio. Let's go to Chad Gilbert, who joins us now. And Chad, I know you've got a special place in your heart for girls, for women's basketball, and it was great to see the NCAA Final Four games on Friday, both competitive and down to the wire. Great to see the championship game last night be competitive and down to the wire. Last second shot wins it for Notre Dame. Great to see the title stay in state. Great to see IU's women win the WNIT tournament on Saturday. And I thought just a great weekend for women's basketball at the college level, especially for the Hoosier State.
No question, Matt. Before we talk about that a little bit, I heard you on baseball. Man, AD's nightmare. This spring has been awful. Four rainouts already, and this week doesn't look good. But an AD's nightmare across southern Indiana. There's going to be a lot of baseball games to make up quick. But talking about the women's game, the Final Four was excellent this weekend. You know, a lot of great games, you know, down to the wire on each round. You know, and for the excitement of it, it was. I thought they were more exciting than what the men's games were this weekend. The one thing, the officiating in the women's game, it's tough. You know, it's hard to watch, really, you know, because there's some outcomes in that. You know, I thought the Louisville player got fouled at the end of regulation. And then last night, I thought Mississippi State kid was hammered at half court when Notre Dame gets the ball back and no call. So, you know, a lot of crazy stuff in there, but that's what you play the game. It's on both sides. It can go either way on it. You just got to adjust and play through. And when you're in that point in the tournament, nothing's getting in your way on that one. It's a matter of execute or be executed. But for Indiana, it was a great night. You know, what's interesting on that one is with Tyra Buss at Indiana winning WNIT, and, you know, Terry Morin's a Seymour girl, so that's great for her as the head coach at Indiana to win that WNIT. And that's going to be a great springboard for their success. But with Tyra Buss on there, her and Jackie Young, who plays for Notre Dame, were both in the same conference, believe it or not, in Indiana. You know, Mount Carmel is in I think it's the Big Eight with Princeton. Yep. They're the only Illinois team that's in there. And so having those two from the same conference, both go out winners, pretty good feat.
Yeah, I've got to admit, when I talk about, you know, doing this with some in-state players, and I know Cahill was from Ohio and technically Buss is from Illinois, but I am guilty of classifying Tyra as an Indiana high school kid because she played a ton of games in Indiana in that Big Eight conference.
No, absolutely. You know, and that shows a lot about that conference and what good basketball Southern Indiana has. You know, boys basketball is excellent, and girls basketball is right up there. You know, if you look at the history of the state tournament in the girls' side, a lot of Hoosier Hills champions in the 4A level, and then with North Harrison's recent success, the success of Scottsburg in years past, Southern Indiana has been awfully well represented in women's game.
Chad, I'm curious, and I know we've talked about this some before at your different coaching stops, but What was for you the biggest challenge, let's call it the biggest difference between coaching girls at Jeffersonville, winning a state championship there, and then flipping over to the boys' side and taking a Jeff team not that many years later to the Final Four, to the semi-state round? Biggest difference in coaching high school boys and girls basketball?
You know, I coached them both the same. We ran the same plays. I talked to them the same. I treated them the same. And I had some special kids on the girls' side and the boys' side at Jeffersonville. So all that wasn't anything different. We ran the same offense on the girls' side as we ran on the boys. The biggest thing, you know, when we were coaching them, we had them on, you know, we had them on our side. You know, and what we did on that is if we told them we needed a certain play done, XYZ, they executed it XYZ, even if that meant giving a wide-open layup up. They were going to execute that play XYZ. Where the boys' side, we had to do a little bit more convincing than we did on the coaching part because some of the boys, you know, they kind of thought, well, I can take my man now. Well, that's fine, but we didn't get the ball rotated. We didn't turn down a good shot for a great shot. And that's something we had to convince the boys a little bit to do. But once we convinced them on that, they both wanted to win. Their desire to win was second to none. Now, the one thing I will tell you, Matt, if I ever got back into coaching again, and you've watched these tournament teams, the one thing that I would practice, I would set a specific part of practice for is situations. You see so many games lost on situations. And here's the thing, when you say, hey, you're supposed to foul here, you're up three or whatever, why not foul? You got a foul to give, why not foul? Coaches tell the guys that in the huddle. They tell the kids, hey, here's what we got to do. The matter of the kids executing it from that huddle to on the court, that's two different creatures. So if you don't practice that stuff, you're not going to be able to execute it in the game. That's like when they show the guys going over the clipboards on last-second shots. They're just not drawing up a play in the sand. That's a play that they've executed hundreds of times, and they're doing that clipboard just to make sure everybody's on the same page. Same thing when you got to foul or defend, when you're going to foul a three-point shooter. You've got to practice that in order to do it in the game. And I would, as a coach, if I ever get back in, I would set it aside time specifically for certain situations in the games, because at the end of the day, people don't remember all the wins that you have on that one. They remember, hey, he screwed that game up, which if you didn't make those calls in the first quarter, you wouldn't be in that position to win the game. So you want to put those kids in a position to win at the end as well as at the beginning.
Chad Gilbert joining us. Chad is with us Mondays here on the Hoosier Report, talking through a lot of different local sports topics. Let's switch to the men's game for just a second. Final Four over the weekend, I thought two pretty good games. Villanova just was red hot. They really controlled Kansas, which was, I think, a bit of a surprise to a lot of people. Loyola, a great run in the tournament. They sure looked good until about the eight-minute mark. That's when Michigan was able to tie it, and then they went on a nice run themselves to close that out and advance to the national championship game tonight. So two pretty good games. The Michigan-Loyola game, I thought, very more fun to watch, very competitive until that final stretch or so. Your thoughts on the game tonight? Villanova, if they shoot it like that, I don't see how Michigan can beat them.
Well, I'm with you. Villanova just shot lights out. But what they do is they play both teams turn down a good shot in order to get a great shot. They're so unselfish. They go inside out off drives, inside out off of passes, and they create open opportunities to score. I thought Michigan did a great job. Loyola did that through the whole tournament. I thought Michigan did a great job of taking that away in the second half. I read something where Loyola didn't get an uncontested shot until like 6 minutes to go in the second half, which that makes a big difference. And, one thing for your money, tonight's game, Villanova is very battle-tested. They're very experienced. But for my money, B-Line's about as good a coach as there is, and he runs a tough style to defend. If you're not used to playing that way, it's hard to go against. Look at Michigan against Louisville in the finals 4 or 5 years ago. Their style of play, if you're not used to playing it, it makes it tough. And so I think that's going to be a different thing to throw at Villanova tonight. I look for an outstanding game. My bracket, I've got Michigan winning it, but I think that's the only game I got right in the bracket. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes tonight, but it's going to be a fun game.
Chad, I saw a tweet this morning from Kevin Eastman, and I don't even know where Kevin's at in the NBA right now, but he's been very involved with Nike. He used to be with the Celtics as a scout and an assistant coach, but just a very sharp speaker and a sharp basketball mind. And he tweeted out, I'm going to read it to you. He said, I know we'll all have our TVs on tonight to see Michigan and Villanova. He's saying those are the who. Those two teams are the who is in the championship game. But watch with a more focused lens, and we'll see the why those teams are in the championship game. And he lists things like ball movement, unselfishness, teamwork, teammates, character, resolved, and the trust that results from all of these. That's absolutely true. When you sit back and watch a Final Four game or a national championship game, and you pay attention to the details, you can see whether the team's winning or losing, whether they go on to win the championship or not. There's really specific reasons that all these teams are able to put runs together, whether it's a specific player, whether it's team defense, whether it's unselfishness, whatever it is. And that's something that's true year in and year out of everybody that makes a run in any kind of tournament, high school, college, or otherwise.
Oh, no question about it. And all those things is what people call trusting the process. So you just take it as every other game, and you trust the process of things you want to accomplish every day at practice, every day in the games, and that leads over to where you're ultimately in the championship, where you just keep doing what you've doing. You've trusted the process, and you want to win those individual battles. I'm sure they want to win every four-minute game tonight. And, the winner of the games as the tournament goes on, it's one, who gets the easy baskets, two, who doesn't turn the ball over, three, who rebounds. You know, a lot of those things, those are the main things that come to it. Now, do you have to hit your free throws down the stretch? Absolutely. Do you got to be able to execute? Absolutely. You know, it's basketball is a game of highs and lows. And it's whoever stays the most level is who has the best chance to win. And I think that goes with your culture that you've got in your program and trust in the process. So there's going to be a lot of things to look for tonight, a lot of execution things, and a lot of things that teams not getting rattled. You're on the big stage. You know, you never know what's going to happen. You just got to play it again with trust in the process and play your game.
Chad, we haven't brought up Romeo Langford's name on the program yet today, so let's do so with you. How about his performance in the McDonald's game? I know we talked about it some last week. We did a couple shows from Atlanta, but you've been in that game. You've coached that game. It's a different game if you're the star of your team, which all of them are the stars of their respective high school teams. But those all-star games are a little different. You want to win. You're playing against some of the best players. There's not a lot of defense, and you're used to playing 40 minutes or so. You don't get that in a McDonald's All-American game. I thought Romeo made the most of what he got in the game.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and the McDonald's All-American game is it's the King Daddy. You know, it's the Big Mac, per se, of all the games. You know, and you're out there, it's a start-on-Saturday type game. And you go home Thursday morning because there's just so much involved with it. You know, you're visiting the children at the hospital. You're going out to eat. You're doing some servanthood, which is great with it. You know, you're involved in photo shoots. Just you're treated big time. You know, it's unbelievable how they treat you in this. And for Romeo to go out there and put on a performance like he did is what you'd expect. You know, you see him in the shootout with the celebrities in the 3-on-3, steps up and hits the half quarter like nobody's business, which we've talked about time and time again of before games at New Albany that Romeo put on a half-court shooting exhibition along with the dunk contest. I'd like to see him in the dunk contest because I think he would have very well represented himself in that. But for him to play in the game, you know, Romeo's so good. He's so unselfish. He's out there playing to win. And the one thing that I saw on him as much as anything, he was having a good time. You know, when the kid thought that they beat him in the shootout, Romeo just looks at him and grins. He knew he won. And for him to have fun in this thing, you know, that's the most important thing, those kids to have fun, go out there. He's known those guys for the last 5 years on the circuit. You know, he's been on the gauntlet. These guys that he's playing against is nothing new to him. It's nothing he hasn't seen. But it's really good to see him have fun and perform.
Chad Gilbert joining us. Final thing for you. We I know we can't get too much into specifics at the high school level as you may college, but you and I had a conversation. I think it was off air that this could be a year a number of high school jobs open in Southern Indiana, and really, to my knowledge, on the boys' side, Providence was an interim coach this past year, so we knew that that job would be interviewed for again going into this year. But I would think, as far as from your perspective as an AD goes, now that most schools are through their spring break, if there's going to be some movements, some retirements, some changes, we would start seeing and getting word of some of those in the next few weeks, wouldn't you think?
Yes, absolutely. You know, and changes occur. You know, this is a time where staffing's going on in the schools and a lot of things. You know, sometimes you might need a new coach, but that's not available because you don't have a teaching position to put them in. So a lot of that shakes down here within the next month or so. I think the IBCA clinic coming up at the end of the month, I think you get a lot of shakedown, a lot of talk up there to see people who are moving, people who are going on different places. And, you know, there's three or four open right now that I think start a domino effect. And, you know, coaching's a tough sport. It's not a three-month-a-year sport. It's a 12-month-a-year. You know, you're putting a lot of work into it, a lot of things in it. I think some people get some time away, and I think they enjoy that time away. So you see stuff later and later happen. I remember when I took the boys' job at Jeffersonville, I didn't have the kids. First time I was around them was like July 11th. You know, because I ended up taking a job like July 3rd. We had moratorium week that week, so we come back the 11th and catch hold of them. So later, I think more and more you see later jobs fill later in the year. And that could be a trend again this year, you know, as it goes on. But I tell you what, from the athletic director's side, it's harder and harder to find coaches and then especially teachers who coach. And I think that's an epidemic that's going throughout the state. And it's something that that people throughout need to really take a hard look at because young people aren't getting in the teaching profession anymore.
Chad Gilbert. Chad, we'll let you get back to it at Charlestown. I know you've got your hands full with this weather, man. That's the bad thing about spring sports. The weather controls and dictates so much. You hinted at the issues high school baseball and softball teams having trying to get their season started, and it maybe going to get a little bit better, it looks like, but still a tough to start to the that season for sure.
It certainly is, but you know, you're at the mercy of Mother Nature, and it could be like Mr. Cub, Ernie Banks says, let's play two from here on out just to get the games in. But it's a lot of fun, Matt. You know, I know our kids are itching to get out in the diamond and get out on the track, golf course and everything. It's a good time of year, but it's something that you're at the mercy of Mother Nature.
Absolutely. Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director, IHSAA Executive Board Member as well. Chad, always great to catch up and talk a little bit of everything sports-wise here in Southern Indiana, and we'll do it again next Monday.
Thanks for the run, Matt. Appreciate everything you do for Southern Indiana.
Thank you, Chad. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back and wrap things up here on this Monday edition of the program. It's the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
As we gear up for the national championship game tonight, Villanova and Michigan, one thing to consider, especially if you watched any of the women's Final Four or the national championship game on the women's side last night, here's a tweet from Jay Billis. If you watched any of the women's Final Four, you saw rules of the game that men's college basketball should adopt. Quarters, team foul reset, advance the ball in last minute. The women's game is better administered and the men's game should follow suit. I could think we could probably do a couple segments just on some of those rules on the women's side. Do you think they would fit the men's side of the game? I think there's some things, especially like advancing the basketball in the last minute of the game, that makes it extra interesting for some great finishes. But something to consider, something to think about. I thought about many of those things watching the Final Four games Friday, the IU women's NIT Saturday, the national championship women's game NCAA last night with Notre Dame winning. So very interesting to think about. Villanova, Michigan tonight, I just hope it's a great game. Love to see Michigan and the Big Ten represent and grab a national championship in a year where I don't think anyone outside of Michigan State had a legit opportunity by many to win a national championship, but I think they have their work cut out for them against a very good and hot shooting Villanova team at this time. Enjoy the national championship game. We'll recap that and more tomorrow right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.